You are listening to the GTT podcast from the Canadian Council of the Blind.
So good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, March the 5th, 2024. And we're here again for another installment of Michael Fair's Unseen Touchscreen. And we're excited about another installment. Last month, if you want to look at the podcast, there was music. We talked about that. And today we're going to talk about a few other apps. So take it away, Michael.
Alrighty. Well, we're basically out of, so the last good while, we've been talking more about how to control your iPhone. And now we're kind of shifting gears from, you know, the learning, the mastering of how to, all the different ways you can actually command your iPhone to do things, to what you can actually do with it. So we're going into some neat new territory. And the music app was the first real taste of that, first big reward. And there is a lot of it now, as we're going to alternate between these more entertaining sections and, you know, more utilities, more things that you can do with your iPhone now that you've mastered it. Or mastered controlling it. Mastering the whole thing takes quite a while. I'm still learning stuff all the time. So we're talking today about lifestyle apps. And this is a category I kind of made up for the purposes of the guidebook, of apps that are the simpler form of the apps. Usually there are other versions that have more features, but Apple gives you apps as that just come pre-installed on your iPhone. And a bunch of these are just useful in everyday life. And so I put them in this lifestyle apps category. And there are six of them currently. I suspect there'll be more as the years go on. So the apps that I'm that we'll try and cover today, we might split this into two chunks. Weather, reminders, calendar, notes, calculator, and journal, which is the newest kid on the block, the journal app at the very end there. So these apps are basically, they're pretty safe to use. You can't really do any massive damage or anything like that with them, or get into any trouble. They're self-contained. You know, everything's in the app. You don't need to sort of go outside them. They're easy to use, and they're good practice for learning voiceover and how to master your screen, how to use the touch screen. Siri is integrated pretty well with these apps. So even if you can't, you know, as you're mastering the touchscreen, you can start to sort of make use of these apps by Siri. For example, you can tell your calendar to add an appointment, or you can tell it, you know, I have a dentist appointment at 12:30 on Wednesday, March 4th, and it will ask, make sure the details are correct, and then add it to your calendar. You can ask it if you have any events coming up. So there are things that make use of these apps. There are apps that build on these apps and go farther and actually make, you know, third parties, more other companies have found other ways of doing these things. So depending on your needs, these apps will certainly get you started. And it's just using your iPhone every day and really starting to benefit from it, because it's always with you, right? And so you always have your calendar, your calculator, your notes, all these things are just there. So, you know, we'll go through some of these apps. We'll see how time goes and get through as much of this as we can. Always, I would say with all of these apps, learn how to use the touchscreen. Don't just use what you can get Siri to do. You'll always get more precise control and a better overview of everything if you use the touch screen and use voiceover rather than just do everything with Siri. It makes a massive difference. And I think you'll be a lot more satisfied if you put in the time to do that. You know, it's great that Siri can do what it can, and it's about to apparently get better in iOS 18, but this is a device with a touch screen, and really you're doing yourself a disservice by not learning it. So take the time to do that. So with the weather app, we'll start with about the simplest thing. It gets weather information. And what you can do is go in there and check through it all. You can navigate it with the rotor and containers. So if you turn your rotor to containers, and you can flick up and down, and each chunk of information is in its own container. It's kind of a vertical stack of information all about the weather. And a lot of these things you can double tap on, you can get into even closer detail charts and things, weather maps. There's a lot in there, but it's a consumer thing. It's not really an interactive, you can't write anything in this app. It's all presenting you information, and you can go and find that information in here. So basically at the it's in the vertical stack from top to bottom, and we'll look at it going down. So at the very top of the stack, you will see current conditions. And so flicking up and down between the information when the rotors turn to containers is one thing, but you can also, when you're reading a set of information, flick right to hear the next element in that information. So flick right with one finger and you'll get to, for example, the current conditions, warnings of precipitation. That's kind of the next group down. Hourly forecast is next, and then 10-day forecast, so you can look ahead. All of these are just out on the screen, and you can just get at the information without really having to do much in the way of double tapping to get in and out of things. You can just basically flick to the container with the information you want, and then flick right through the information, or left if you miss something and want to hear it repeated, and go flick left and then flick right again, and easily get a handle on the weather, on air quality and other things are below that. So there's humidity, there's weather maps you can double tap on near the bottom. You can get at a lot of different stuff along those lines. There's some important controls at the bottom of the screen to be sure you're aware of. So you can add locations to your list. You can have a list of locations. I don't think there are any limits on that list, on the length of it. You can have as many cities as you want. And you can flick between those locations on your list. There's a slider at the bottom right, and you can flick up and down between those locations. You can also, of course, your phone is aware of your location, and it will track in on where you are and present that weather by default. You can change that if you have a reason to. If GPS is not working well or something like that, you can always manually set the location. Other controls at the bottom there are manage no notifications, and this is a bit of but more interactive. You can go in and turn on warnings of precipitation, and you'll get emergency alerts in locations that are on your list that you specify that you turn on notifications for. And that can be your current location, that can be other cities where, for example, some of my family lives in Hamilton, and I have that those notifications turned on, so I'd be aware if something really horrendous weather-wise was happening in that region. So there are things like that that you can do. It will start notifying you once you've chosen your locations and manage your notifications. You'll get notifications of rain starting and stopping, and it'll even predict exactly when that it thinks it will happen, things like that. So you can switch between locations, and three finger swipes left and right will switch you to the next and previous location on your list. Or you can just go to the list and flick up and down. There's a sliding bar at the bottom. So that's a look at weather in a very brief nutshell, but you can get at a lot of information. And VoiceOver will tell you when you can, if you have hints on, as you should, if you're just beginning, if you're just learning the iPhone, have hints on, and it will tell you if there's things you can interact with and what you can do. And there are spots where you can double tap and go in and get more information. And if you go into something, you're not ever going to get stuck in there. Look at the top left of the screen, the top left corner, right below the status bar, and you'll find a back button. Double tapping that will get you back a level onto the previous level of, depending on how far you go into to something. You might have to hit a couple of Double tap a couple of times on back to get back to the main page where the weather information is located. So, it's a very simple, it's pretty much what you need to know to start using that app and getting weather information and really looking at the details that like when's the sun going to be coming out, when's the sunrise, sunset, all that stuff is there that you can just very quickly, once you learn the way around, just get to it with flicks up and down and left and right. It's very simple. So that's a really good app to start practicing using VoiceOver. I tend to steer beginners towards that. Calculator is the next one here, and there's a couple of things to know. It will fill the needs of most people. You have there are two kinds of calculators. There's the basic calculator that is displayed when your phone is in a vertical orientation, portrait mode, they call it. And if it's in landscape mode, where it's held sort of across in front of you, left to right and lengthwise, then you get a scientific, if you have to have your orientation unlocked. So as long as your phone can turn into landscape mode while you're in the calendar or calculator app, you will get the scientific calculator. So the basic calculator is just plus, minus, divided by, times, very basic stuff. I think percent might be in there, is in there as well. And there's a number pad of your numbers, and there's plus, minus, times, divided by, sort of in a strip down the right. Very simple. And you can just drag your finger across and feel where everything is, and double tap on the numbers, depending on the typing mode you use. Of course, the typing modes work in other apps than word typing. They work in the phone app, and they work in other things like the calculator here, where you can turn to a touch typing, which is what I would do, the number goes in when you lift your finger off, and that way you can feel around, find the right number or the symbol, the operation you want, and lift your finger off and have it happen that way. Some people like that. Some people like the standard mode, where nothing happens until you double tap on something. So depending on your comfort level, use the mode that works best for you. And it's a good practice for that. So yeah, the landscape mode gives you a scientific calculator, and that's a the numbers are still there, but they're kind of moved over to the left a bit, and you have tons of scientific mathematical things, bracket and exponents, all this kind of stuff, much of which I would have nightmares if I had to use. But it's all there, and really for most people, between those two calculators, it would cover your needs pretty well. So the numeric keypad is kind of at the left, and then everything else is on the right. So in the basic calendar, basic calculator rather, the number pad is most of what's there, and then you have the equals at the top. So the higher numbers are at the top, of course, in the calculator number pad, zero at the bottom. Decimal is to the right of the zero. So that's all pretty simple. Equals is right of the decimal point. So it's a kind of very bottom right. Functions are above equals. So you've got the strip of functions going up the right side. And that's kind of how the calendar works. The top the top number row, you have the clear as well. The results are kind of at the top, at the very top of the screen. So that's in a nutshell, the calendar. So they're right below the status bar there. So it's basic calculators, good for building a mental map. Just learn your way around that. And that's a good app to sort of start that process of just exploring the screen with your finger You can flick between elements, but it's a very slow process. So this is an app that's really good at, at giving you a good reason to explore with your finger, find out where things are, and jump to them. That will be useful in many, many other places in iOS. Okay, so the numbers are kind of in the scientific calculator, the numbers are kind of in the middle, and the functions are kind of on the left. So there's lots of the line of results is at the top. So it's the scientific calculator, which is when you hold your phone sideways, is a lot more kind of crowded. So we have the clock app is another one here. Very basic kind of thing. You have four tabs across the bottom. The world clock. You can have as many cities in there, different times of different, as long as you know the city that you want, like for example, or what cities in like East, the time zone you want, like Eastern time or whatever, you can set that up and have a bunch of times available in the clock tab of the app. There's also an alarm clock, a stopwatch, a timer, and those are all in the clock app. So you can set those. And very, very basic kind of capabilities. Some things missing, for example, are chimes. There's no hourly chimes in the clock or vibration alerts for time. There's nothing like that. So you have to get third-party apps to do any of that with your iPhone. Whereas the Apple Watch does have some of that stuff. So you can. But the basic clock, you've got the world clock. You can set different cities, in long as you know that which cities, which time zone, you're good. Like I've got a few different ones for different time zones. There's no way to select like Eastern time, like time zones. You have to use cities, and you, the edit button lets you basically you can edit the cities that are in the order that they're in, and that's at the edit button is at the top left of the tab. So after you've selected some cities, if you want to rearrange them, hit the edit button, and you can remove cities, you can reorder them, and get that world clock kind of the way you want it, and have the information just right there. Alarm clock is pretty simple. You can set the alarms. You can add sounds and different things, and select from the set of sounds that Apple has presented. You can, where am I here? You can create alarms. You can turn alarms on and off, so you don't have to keep making an alarm for 7 a.m. If that's a common one, you can just make that alarm, and it'll always just be in that alarm tab. And you can just go in and turn that alarm on and off as needed. And so that's a nice kind of thing. You can have like any times that are common, you can just make alarms for and leave them off until you need them and then turn them on. So that's pretty good. You can delete alarms as well by flicking down on them and double tap when it gets to delete, which is I think the first option, kind of down. You can always edit alarms if you want to, so that's possible as well. So on the alarm creation screen, you can flick up or down to adjust sliders, like adjust the hours and minutes, adjust which sound, that kind of thing. So it's all very easy to operate and pick what you want the alarm to sound like, and when you want it to go off. So that when you're satisfied with how, when you create an alarm, you've got all these options: time, date, time, and hours, minutes, all that kind of stuff. And then at the top left is where the save button is. So you just double tap that, and it'll save that alarm, and then it's active and ready for use. So pretty easy. And then again, there's an edit button at the top left of the tab that lets you change characteristics of alarms if you want to. So you can get in there and edit different things. You can set snooze times, and choose from sound or songs in your music library. If you want to wake up to a song, you can do that. So there's it's pretty flexible. Ringtones you can use. So there's also a sleep alarm, and that's a special one in that ties into the health app and into the sleep focus. And you can actually set it to sort of wake you up gently. It'll kind of measure when you're waking up and try to wake you up at a good point. Not sure how well that really works, but I'm usually awake long enough, long before I'd even alarm, but that's something to investigate as well. There's no sort of automatic reading of time on the stopwatch. If you could leave a voiceover on the place in that tab where the time is updated, and it would keep reading the time, that's possible, but it won't automatically do that once you've started the stopwatch. So the stopwatch is you can start it, you can hit a button to record the lap time measurement and get that. You can set the rotor to headings and flick up, and that will get you right up to the time where you can just find it and hear what it is, and tap the log button to hear what the time is at that moment if you want to capture that. And then of course there's the stop button. So very kind of simple stopwatch, and that's certainly present in the clock. The timer is pretty basic too. Again, you can start, stop it. There's no automatic announcements of time as it goes down. You could leave the focus of voiceover on the time of the timer and have that happen. But otherwise, it's just a silent timer until it reaches its end, and then it will do what you've set it to do, make a sound of some kind. That kind of thing, the time, if you have a timer running, it will also show up in the lock screen. So you can have your phone locked and hit the lock button to wake it up, and you'll be in the lock screen. And if you check around, you'll probably see the timer in there that you've started running. So you just kind of set duration and choose the timer end sound, and you start the timer when you want to, and you're kind of off to the races there. You can always stop it. The timer can actually be used to stop a podcast. So if you're playing a podcast and you set the timer into, say, or music, right? And say at the end of this time, I want the music or podcast stopped. And you can do that. So that's something that people can use, especially with these apps. Some audio apps don't have sleep timers in them. So this is something that can come in handy if you want to read for an hour while you're drifting off, but you don't want to find when you woke up that the book has kept going on all night and you have to find your place again, right? So that's the clock app there. Very kind of simple app to get used to. Just four tabs on the bottom, and easy as it gets, really. Now we're moving into something a bit more complex, the Note app. This is the Notes app. This is Apple's basically your ability to keep notes. It keeps them all in folders and lists, and you can actually tag notes now. So there's that. You can have smart folders, so notes that you keep, you can organize in all these different ways. You can basically tell it, make a folder and say, I want this folder to include notes I made between January and March of 2022 that have these tags or have these keywords, things like that. So it's very powerful in the sense of you can have folders retrieve all kinds of groups of data for you if you want to. And you can tag notes to keep them organized as well. So you can be typing in a note and finish, whatever. I usually put tags on the bottom, but you can put them anywhere. And you just do a number sign or hashtag, as it's called, and then type in another word. Like I have a tag for everything I do for Kelly and Ramya. It's Kelram, And I just stick that down with number sign and then CalRAM on the bottom, and it tags that. And if I ever want to look at those notes, I can just tell it, show me all the notes with the hashtag CalRAM, and it will do that. With put it all in a list with all the notes with those tags. And smart folders can pull in more than one tag, and you can do a lot with that. There's a lot of power in the Notes app that people can use if they need it to keep organized. And as you go in, you can have folders within folders as well. So nothing stops you from doing that. And if you, the deeper you go, whenever you're going deeper into levels, feel on the top left and you'll find a back button. Double tap that and you move back out a level. So you're never going to get stuck way down in the midst of anything without a back button. There's always going to be a back button that'll get you more towards the root level, whereas the sort of the main default trunk of your tree of notes kind of thing. So you can type in notes, you can dictate notes to Siri and create notes that way. Say, create a note and saying whatever you want the note to say, and that will be done. You can hashtag and whatever tag you want to give it, and that will be done. So you can do a lot with Siri there in terms of getting notes. Haven't done a lot of experimentation with retrieving notes with Siri, but that might be possible. I would tend to just use the touch screen for that, but something you might want to experiment with and see what you think. So notes are stored in the default folder in iCloud, and any notes that you add just by Siri are going to be stored there by default. So that's kind of how that works. And there's a lot. You can go into the edit field and type notes. So when you create a new note, then you can go in and type in what you want the note to say. And of course, spell checking works. For sighted people, you can actually draw in notes as well. If you have some sight, there are grid lines you can choose to have or not. You can sketch in a note, and it will tell the difference between sketching and, say, handwriting, which it will recognize. So there's a lot of, for sighted people, it's a lot of people will use the Notes app rather than any third party app because it's powerful enough. It's got a lot of features there. And then when you finish editing a note, there's top left, there's the exit button. You can use that to get out of the note, or escape with the keyboard will do the same thing. So buttons for adding tables. You can add tables. You can make checklists that you can check and uncheck, right? Like a list of to-dos. You could do that all in notes if you want to. There's lots of scope here for things. Hide button will cause a note to be hidden, and that will tuck away. There's extra options as well that you can use. So yeah, there's a lot in the Notes app. You can unclutter the basics with the hide button to hide away some of the extra options that you don't need. So you can create protected notes that you need your Face ID or Touch ID or your passcode to unlock. And that might be useful if you're keeping a list of passwords that you want handy or something like that, or sensitive information like a credit card number or ID number, something that you need that you don't want to have to pull out a card to scan and get when you need it. You could create a note that's protected, and you could put any sensitive information in there. So that's something that I've done with some things. And so there's lots of stuff you can do. You can add contacts to notes, and that person will get access to that note, and they can it, you can collaborate on notes. You can mention people in notes, and they'll be getting that mention. And when you if they're in your contacts and messages, then They can get access to the notes. So there's for the hashtags, you just put number sign and then a word, one or more words, and you can quickly just add these tags to the notes. And then but you can there's a show tags option where you can go through and look at all the notes with this or that tag, and you don't even have to use folders at that point if you don't want to, if tags are enough organization for your needs. So it's very flexible. You don't have to use all this stuff. You can use what works for you, and and leave the rest to other people. So it's a very powerful app. I've just given you a very, very crash course sketch on what you can do with it. It's a good place to practice typing too, because again, you're not you, the only thing that might be hurt is the contents of the note. You're not going to do any other things or send anyone anything. So it's a very sp safe space to practice editing, spell checking, moving text around, typing, right? So that's the Notes app in a very brief nutshell. So the Reminders app is, or sorry, the voice, I guess voice memos is next. So it's designed to be a quick recorder. It's note taking by voice, really. And unlike if you dictate a note to Siri, that's not the same thing. That's turning it into text. If you record a voice memo, it's a strictly audio recording. You can name the voice memo when you record it so that you can find it later. It doesn't have to, it'll default to naming them with the time and location where it was made, which it does not, isn't always all that helpful to recall. So you can add more like a actual name to recordings if you want to. But if you're in a pinch, right, you can pull this out, you can start recording, say what you need to say, stop it recording, it'll save as a memo as soon as you stop the recording, and it will have that name. And that way it's just quick, right? And you can rename stuff later. So when you're out in public and you're doing, you can just record a voice memo, have it stop the recording, it'll save, and then the next time you record, it'll go to a new memo. And it's just a quick way of getting information, getting recordings of stuff that you want to hear later. You can choose the quality of the re recording. It can be lossless, which is the most quality, high quality, uses the most space, but is the clearest. Or you can use compressed, which is more compressed, and it might, it's typically, I've never really thought that using compressed quality, especially just for your own personal notes, it's not going to be any deficit, and you'll save some space. But if you're recording I don't know, an event that you that you want to remember later on, then I would go in there in the settings the settings for voice memos. So that's in your settings app, and choose the lossless recording, and that will preserve as much detail as possible. And if you're playing that back on a set of Bluetooth speakers or something, it'll sound much better. So you can store notes in folders, you can send them, share them with other apps, you can edit them, doing that kind of thing is pretty straightforward. The voice memos app is pretty basic, so it's not going to have the most robust editing facilities or anything like that. This is really a bare bones recording app. There are third-party apps that you can get that will offer you more resources in terms of what you record and what you can do with it. So the memos would be in a list. Basically, you can flick up or down while on a memo, and things on the memo's name, and you can rename it and choose other options, deleting it. That's all done with the rotor. When you're flicking to a memo, the rotor automatically points to actions, and then you flick up and down, and you can get at all these options to delete, rename, all that stuff very easily. And the settings for the quality of the memo app are in the settings app. And so they're not right in the memos app. You have to go into settings and select it there. And that's pretty much memos. Double tap on a memo to hear it. It'll start playing. And that's the basics of the memo app. We're on to the calendar next. This is a pretty bare bones, simple calendar. It's a simple layout. So we have everything on one screen. There aren't any tabs really with the calendar app. Same with the voice memos. Everything is really on one screen there too. So simplicity is really basically hiding all the options that you don't need until you do need them. So it's you get the screen with a search field on the top and an add button, and they're both at the top left and of the touch screen, and you can search, for obviously for appointment names or dates, things like that in the search field. You can add events with the top button to add events, and those are right below the status bar on the very top. And as you go down, you get to today, calendar, and inbox. Those are the three tabs on the bottom, and you can switch between. So the today tab focuses on today. The calendar tab has the big calendar of the month in it and everything. And the inbox is for any events and things. I've really honestly never used the inbox in the calendar, and in all the years I've been using my iPhone. So that's you might not even need that, depending on what you're doing. But people will you could have events in there that maybe you've been sent invitations and you're thinking of what to do with them. So there are uses for it, I'm sure. The calendar is infinitely scrolling. So you flick up and down with three fingers. And you can scroll down by years. The years are separated by headings. And you can go into a months or buttons. So you'd flick down to 2024, and then you'd flick right to the March button, and you'd double tap on it, and then you'd then be in our month. It kind of works like that. So up and down by year, and then a month of flicking left and right through the months of the year, and that's how you basically navigate an infinitely scrolling calendar. There's not anything massively fancy. Touch the top left or bottom right of and then flick in the opposite direction to sort of get to the bottom and top elements, because the rest of it is this big scrolling calendar, right? So basically, it's good that the controls are at the top or at the bottom. The very top left, bottom right corners, right, are not included in this infinite scroll. They'll remain what they are. So you double tap to go into a month, and when you're in the month, then you see the calendar for that month, and you can double tap on a day to go into that day, and use the back button to go up a level again. So the back button is always at the top left once you're down in a level in. So you can basically just always know that double tapping near the top left, you'll find the back button. Double tap that to get back towards the actual calendar, the main calendar screen with the years and the headings. So there's no headings in the month calendar. So the weeks aren't separated by headings, right? So you'd be flicking up and down. If you turn the rotor to vertical navigation, you can then navigate up and down because the weeks are lined up below each other, right? So you can then flick up and down to go week by week, right? When you're in the vertical navigation, so that's the easiest way to sort of navigate through the month, and then double tap on the day that when you arrive at the day, and then you'll see its events. And they'll be just in a list of events that you've set for that day, and they appear at the bottom right before the today tab. So the events are Just in that list, you can double tap on an event and go into the details, and then you can sort of adjust things about it, and that's kind of how that kind of works, and you can flick up or down to go between events in a day, and that will there's an actual rotor setting called events that you can turn to do that. So then you double tap on an event to go into it, and then you use the edit button if you want to edit that event, change aspects of it, change the start and end time, whether it repeats or not, when it recurs, all kinds of stuff. And you double tap on the add button to add an event, and that's at the very top of the main calendar screen, and your entry screen will appear, and you can then fill in the form, flick right through the options and double tap on the options that you want. You can flick up or down to slide, and double tap on selecting things. So things are hiding sometimes as well. So for instance, in order to change the date and the time, you double tap on the date, and so start date, for example, you want to change when it starts, item, and it will expand, and then you then have the controls to actually slide and change, set the time and the date of the event, of the start of the event, right? And same with the when it ends, double tap the edit field for title, and you can write in the title or change the title if you want. So it's possible to add a lot of more than dates and times. You can add locations. You can add notes, including link, like a Zoom link, like basically for today's meeting, you could have added a Zoom link into the notes field of the calendar, and it would be active. You could double tap on it at when the day came to get into the event. You can add contacts to the event. You can add all kinds of different things like that. Notes, the location where the app is, and it will try and predict. It'll kind of offer you ETA advice on when you might want to leave to be at an event on that time. So there's a lot here that there's a lot packed into that calendar, and for a lot of people, it's again going to be all they need to organize things. But you can there are other options if you want in the App Store, and we'll be covering some of them in the contacting not contacting the other sections in the guide, productivity, things like that. So there's a lot in the calendar. You can just go in there and add events and look it over it and get a good overview of your upcoming things. And if an event has a link in it, you can double tap to launch that link. It'll get you to the browser place if you put it in an internet link or a Zoom. It'll open up the Zoom room. So there's you can have recurring events. You need to double tap on the repeat item, and then you can choose when it repeats. And so there's standard options like weekly, things like that, monthly. But if you need something more different, like the third and fourth Wednesday of every month or something, there's a custom option which you can look in, and there'll be more kind of unusual time options for things if you want recurring events that don't recur, on the default, like weekly, monthly, the basic ones, right? So there's quite a bit of power. You just have to remember to look for places where options might be hiding. So custom unlocks obviously a lot for recurring events. So that's an example of that. It's not all out in the open. You have to double tap on things to get to other hidden menus and things like that. And that's how they keep the screen kind of less cluttered for sighted folks that kind of want to just glance at it all and see pretty quickly what's there. So you can also, of course, tell Siri to create events, and it will. And the integration is really good there. You can say, "I'm having a dentist appointment at 3," or "I'm seeing Jim every third Tuesday at 4 o'clock," and it will try and understand. I found other apps that understand a bit better, but that could all be about to change with iOS 18 and the new artificial intelligence that's coming out. So that is a brief tour of the calendar. I guess we'll go into reminders here. So reminders are separate from the calendar. So the reminders app has its own database separate from the calendar's database. And Apple treats these as two separate things. Events are calendar specific stuff, and reminders, even if they have due dates, are not. They don't show up in the calendar, which is kind of annoying. Both will generate notifications, so you'll be notified when a due date for a reminder comes up, but you won't find it when you're looking in the calendar. So that's something to keep in mind when you're choosing whether something should be a reminder or an event, like an appointment. I use the calendar for any appointments, any kind of events, and my reminders for things like get this done by this date. That tends to be more of a reminder. So there are apps that combine reminder and calendar. Fantastical is one of them. That's the one I use, and it really helps to have those due dates in there. I hope Apple changes that sometime and adds those to the calendar. So you can, the notifications are probably going to be good enough for most people in terms of keeping you aware of approaching stuff. But yeah, it's just one of those little quirks of Apple that we have to get used to. Reminders can have due dates, but they don't need to. They can have hashtags. You can have similar to notes, you can have smart folders, smart lists of reminders with hashtags. They can have priority, high, urgent, low. They can have flags. You can flag just to indicate this is important, as opposed to other reminders, which are less so. Location triggers. So you can have, as soon as you walk into a grocery store or approach it, it might say, "Remember to get milk," right? Some people do that. You can have reminders that have subtasks linked to the main reminder. So you can have steps that are subtasks that must be checked, and you check them off and to complete the main, a larger task. So there's facilities for that you can do. You can mark a reminder as complete by double tapping it and just checking it off, and that can be very satisfying for people. When they've done a task to do that. There aren't any tabs in the Reminders app. This is another one of those everything on one screen and a lot of options buried behind. They only reveal themselves when they're needed. So everything's on the one screen. There's an edit button at the top and a search field. They're both up at the top left, and so you can look through your reminders. You can edit the order and different things. There's a group of four buttons after that edit field. And so you've got the today scheduled, all and flagged smart reminder and smart lists. And those are groups of reminders. Smart lists are lists of reminders similar to smart folders and notes that can pull in a bunch of details, and that can help organize big projects and things for people. So below those buttons is My Lists, and there's a My List heading, and then you've got all your lists that you've made that are not Apple's. The ones up top there that I've talked about, those today, all those buttons are the Apple's default. You can look at all flagged reminders. You can look at things like that. But below, now you've got your lists, and any lists that you've made are going to be beneath that heading, so you can flick through and find, I made grocery reminders, I made book reminders, and things like that. So the button to add a new list is at the bottom. So it's down near the bottom of the screen. And so smart lists are basically, like I've been saying, lists of reminders that have hashtags. You can say, pull in all the reminders with this hashtag or due by this time. And so they can sort of sort of be present you with the reminders that you think you need to review different tasks, and it'll automatically populate them as you create the reminders. You don't have to constantly move reminders into smart lists and things. It will do that for you. And so there's quite a bit there in that app. You can create lists with contents and choose different icons for them. Choose the title, the what's in what gets included in a list. So a lot of things like that. So that today is all reminders with the current day, and you'll see any reminders that have today's due date. Scheduled is any reminder with a due date at all. You'll see anything you've scheduled in that default list. Flagged is any reminder you've flagged. So very, the lists that Apple gives you by default are very kind of easy to just flick through and understand what they do. All includes all reminders. So custom reminders lists are the ones that you make, and it's very very powerful. You can do a lot with it. For a lot of people, it's probably all they need, but for some, organizing tasks for big companies and such, they might want to look at third-party apps, which are certainly available. So there's lots there in terms of that. And navigate large lists, you can use the rotor, and rotor can be set to move between complete and incomplete reminders and overdue. So you can use the rotor to really jump to the kind of reminders that you want. So there's different ways to create reminders. You can do it by Siri. You can just say, Siri, create reminder and tell it what you want, or remind me to do this or that, and it will do that. You can type them in. You can dictate. You could open an edit field and then dictate the contents that way. So there's lots of third-party apps as well that will use that database of reminders that and build on that and offer you more functionality as well. So if this isn't enough for you reminders wise, there's lots of things you can do in the App Store to find what you need. So you type contents in, and it's very, very simple. So the basically reminders don't need dates. You can have lots of reminders with basically subtasks and different things. People can be mentioned, and you can, similar to notes, you can put people in. They can share with you with reminders. Lists can have images. Reminders can have images to show what they are, which can kind of be helpful for people who can see. Very well integrated with Siri again. So beginners, there's lots there that you can just do by saying, remind me of this, or check for reminders, things like that. So yeah, it's there's lots there. So the vertical bar on the bottom on the right can go through a list very quickly. So that's something to keep note of as well. So we have, oops, just lost my place on notes. We probably should quit there for this session, and we'll pick it up with the next session there for the remainder of the lifestyle apps.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. There's so much packed into this, and it's great to go through all of these apps that come naturally with our phones. So if you come back for the next episode in April 2024, we're going to continue on with this.
Thank you for listening to the GTT podcast from the Canadian Council of the Blind. There are many ways to get in touch with us. You can call us toll-free at 1-877-304-0968. You can follow our GTT blog at gttprogram.blog. If you'd like to subscribe to our email support list, you can send a blank email to gttsupport+subscribe@groups.io. And you can follow the Canadian Council of the Blind on the web at ccbnational.org.